Ladies and gentlemen,
are you ready for the big show?
Are you ready?
You ready for the buzzer?
Go! This is the MLS Show. On the BTP Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Beyond the Pitches MLS Show with me, Scott Nichols, my co-host Otis Earle, and a very, very special guest today. He is Mr. America, as I like to call him, Dax McCarty. Dax McCarty, how are you today, sir?
Doing very well, thank you. I appreciate that nickname. I think that's very flattering. Thanks for that.
No problem. Look, so first of all, look, we really appreciate you coming on and giving us the time today. But let's get straight into it. Chicago Fire already have 10 more points than they finished on last season. Look, and obviously there's been some big additions in the offseason. Yourself, Bastian Schweinsteiger, Nemanja Nikolic, all of these different things. Look, but sometimes too many new players can sort of disrupt a team. So just real quick, how have you guys managed there at the Fire to sort of meld together so quickly and put together a team that has been sort of the polar opposite of what the team's been in recent seasons?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a challenge. You always have to, I think the right word to use when trying to put together a competitive team is balance. You know, you need to have the right balance between players that you bring in, and you know, the players that are still on the club from previous seasons. You need to have that right balance. I mean, you need to have guys that have been through the tough times, so they know that you know, what it feels like to go through those tough times, and they can tell everybody, you know, that it's unacceptable. And you have to bring in new blood. You have to bring in new experienced veteran players and guys that have been winners in the past that are going to come in and bring a new mindset to the whole group. So I think we found a good balance between that. We found a balance between keeping some talent around from those Chicago Fire teams of years past, guys that have done really well for us this year, and then bringing in a lot of new players, guys with winning mentalities, guys that have won elsewhere in their career, big personalities like Bastian and like Juninho and like Nico, guys like that to go along with myself. I mean, you always want to make sure that you find the right balance between those types of players. And so I think when you put good players together on a team, it's always going to be easier to try to win games. And obviously the season's gone well for us up until this point. We're in a little bit of a rough patch right now, which we need to get out of. But I think for the most part, we're pretty happy with the progress we've made so early in our time together as a team.
Yeah, I mean, and I was going to mention that a little bit later on, that you've sort of, you know, only one win in the last seven games there with the Fire. But look, the nature of MLS is such that, you know, you find teams, some teams struggle to get going all year and then start to find the feet in the second half of the season. Is that something guys like the Juninhos, like yourself, like Bastian, players in the team, you know, senior players on the team, sort of drilling into the rest of the guys, like the younger guys on the team, to ensure that you don't let this opportunity to compete for MLS Cup slip?
Yeah, of course. You always want to make sure that there's a sense of urgency among the group. And I think even when we were winning, when we were doing really well earlier in the season, we were 11 games unbeaten. Myself and a few other guys, we tried to tell the team, listen, there are going to be tough times. This is MLS. You know, you're going to go through dips in form. You're going to go through injuries. You're going to go through international call-ups. You're going to go through suspensions. And we're going to have to be able to deal with that. And so right now, we're going through a rough patch. This season wasn't always going to be, you know, sunshine and roses and all positive things. You're going to have to go through some adversity if you want to come together and be a better team. So we're going through some adversity right now. You know, myself and some of the veteran guys, we're trying to keep a cool head and say that, you know, these things happen. So we need to get back to the basics, need to get back to what made us a successful team earlier in the season. And I think, you know, with a little bit of character and a little bit of patience, you know, we realize that, you know, the season is coming to a close relatively soon, which is crazy to say. It seems like the season just started yesterday. But, you know, we're not going to panic. We're still in a good position in the league. One or two wins will get us right back to close to the top of the standings, and then we just have to go on from there.
Dax, thanks for coming on the show. I just want to wind back to January and preseason. You're showing up to camp, and this is a new team for you, a new look season, a new challenge, new motivation for you. As viewers and fans of the MLS, Chicago, this has been very much a surprise season. Obviously, we know it's kind of like a new leaf for the club and for the franchise as a whole. But has it kind of taken you by surprise how well you started? Because it was almost like each week we were waiting for the old Chicago that's going to like give away soft goals, and no disrespect, but just kind of what we've been accustomed to. Were you surprised by the flying start that you got off to?
No, I wasn't surprised, to be completely honest. When I joined the team in preseason, I recognized the talent that was in the locker room. I recognized the character of the group, and I recognized that we had the potential to be a good team. So it didn't surprise me when we did well. Obviously, you can never plan on things going, I think, as well as they have, especially after the seasons that the Fire have had the past couple of years. But it's funny, in MLS, with a couple of good additions, with a year of experience under your belt for some younger players, going through tough times, I mean, you can change your fortunes very quickly. And so for me, you know, people might be surprised that I say that, you know, but I wasn't surprised in the least bit that we had a good start to the season and that we've had a pretty successful year. You know, I'm obviously going to keep harping back on the fact that we're in a little bit of a rut right now because it's not a good feeling. You know, I'm a guy that I hate losing, and it pisses me off when we lose, especially in the manner that we have been. So I think what made us really successful early in the season was obviously clearly our attacking play was very dynamic and brilliant. But the reason for our good attacking play was defensively we were solid. We didn't concede goals at home. We were tight on the road. We grinded out results on the road, and we're not doing that. We're conceding way too many goals. You can't expect to win games if you concede 3 goals every game. So that's something that we're going to have to improve on. Defensively, we're going to have to be better. And then obviously in the attacking end, you know, we're going to have to continue to get back to, you know, why we were so successful early in the year. And that's when a lot of guys were scoring goals, you know, not just one or two guys. We need to get contributions from everyone. So overall, it's been a really positive season. But right now, we're in the midst of trying to figure out ways to get better and to get us back on the right track.
Dax, you talk about, obviously, your experience now. You're definitely a vet in the league who can help with the younger guys. How important is, because me and Scott on the show, we've been fascinated with the way you and Schweinsteiger have worked together as a two, you know, really bringing that sort of solidity, and structure to the team. What's it like playing with that World Cup winner?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't think I need to go through his pedigree on the show. I mean, everybody knows the pedigree and the seasons and the career that Bastian's had. You know, for me, I'm 30 years old now, and I've been in MLS for 12, 13 years, but I still feel like a little kid trying to learn as much as I can from him. I feel like I'm trying to be a sponge, and all the knowledge that I have in MLS that I'm trying to pass on to all the younger players on our team, I'm trying to soak up all the knowledge that he has, you know, from his experiences playing in World Cups, playing in the Champions League, all that stuff. So he's a guy that I learned from, and I think that we have a good rapport on the field. It's funny. It's really easy to play with world-class players, and it's really easy to, you know, to try to, you know, look better when you're on the field with a guy like Bastian. And the one thing I always say about him, which is more true of him more so than maybe anyone I've ever played with, is he makes the game look easy, and he makes everyone around him's job easier by just his tactical knowledge, obviously his technical ability, playing in Europe for as long as he has, just the way that he sees the game and his vision on the field is at the highest possible level. So I continually try to learn from him and add little elements of his game into my game.
Sebastian Schweinsteiger, you learn a lot from him. You say that you're soaking up all of these, you know, all of his knowledge, all of his, not ability, but you know what I'm trying to say. You're learning from him how,
yes,
things that,
sure,
you can do better. So do you think that that's translated a little bit into the national team as well? Because look, the US men's national team, look, it can be polarizing at the best of times, all right? Yeah, but one consistent attitude amongst fans and media, myself included, throughout the Jurgen Klinsmann era was, why is Dax not getting more minutes in the national team? We had no idea, and I just want to ask whether you think that translates, that learning from Bastian, and or whether it's a combination of that and whether Bruce Arena sort of sees your value perhaps somewhat better than Jurgen did.
Yeah, I think it translates. I think that's a fair point. I think that when you go to the national team, you're going to a higher level and you're playing with better players. So by virtue of me being able to play with Bastian and guys like Juninho, you know, these types of players around you every day, it raises your level. You have to raise your level if you want to compete and you want to keep up. So I definitely think playing with guys like that, and especially playing with Bastian, has raised my level as a player. Like I said, I've tried to take little things that he has in his game and I've tried to incorporate them in mine. And I think I've had a good season. You know, I think that our team has done fairly well, and I think that I've been a big part of that. And I know that Bruce Arena has a ton of respect for MLS. He was a coach in MLS for a long time. You know, he's a guy with a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience in the game in the U.S. He's been successful everywhere he's coached. And so Bruce knows exactly what he wants out of a player. And I think the best part about Bruce Arena, and I can't really speak too much about Jurgen and what he saw in me because I wasn't ever – I was only called up one time under Jurgen.
Yeah.
But the best part about Bruce and what he sees is he recognizes that, you know, the best team isn't necessarily the best 11 players that you put on the field. It's not just the best collection of talent that you can have in any given country. The best team is going to be the guys on the field that gel together, and their different strengths and weaknesses of a group, you're going to have players that make up for it. So I think Bruce recognizes that. I think, you know, Bruce respects and enjoys what I bring to the table. Obviously, I'm very grateful and thankful to him for giving me kind of a new lease on life with the national team. And, you know, I don't know how many more chances I'll get to go to a World Cup or how many more chances I'll get to put on the U.S. national team crest and represent my country. So every opportunity that comes about, I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, because all of your 12 caps have come under managers, like you say, have experience and respect for MLS, right? Five with Bob Bradley, seven with Bruce. Now, do you think perhaps, and I don't want to look, I'm not trying to bait you into any kind of, you know, quote or nothing, but look, do you think maybe that Jurgen had maybe the wrong attitude towards guys who, quote, only played in MLS? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and the truth is I don't think that's the case at all. I think that Jurgen was very willing to call in guys in MLS. I think that Jurgen showed that. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how many MLS guys went to the 2014 World Cup, but it was probably like something like 8 to 12 guys, something like that. So for me, the way that I looked at the Jurgen Klinsmann years was that this is true of not just Jurgen, but this is true of every professional sport out there. Certain coaches see certain players in many different ways. You know, I could look at a player myself and think, oh my God, that guy is unbelievable. He's a great player. Why isn't he playing in the national team? But then a coach could look at that player and think, eh, you know, he's not my cup of tea. He's not a player that I think can play at the highest level. So
sure, yeah.
all these different opinions and all these different, you know, sets of eyes, you know, that's what makes our game so unbelievable, is that, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure and vice versa. So all I can speak to is the fact that I don't think Jurgen rated me that highly as a player. And that's fair. You know, sometimes coaches just have their preferences. And so I have nothing but respect for Jurgen and what he brought to the program and what he did for U.S. soccer. Obviously, I would have loved to get called up under him more, but that's sometimes the way the ball goes, and you just have to be patient and wait for your opportunity.
To actually talk about opinions, and obviously not everyone's being the same, and us, some people rating other players higher than others. Now you've been in the MLS for over 10 years. Do you think the U.S. is producing enough talent within its own country, within its own sort of academies and the U.S. structure that's out here?
I think we're getting there. I think that it's a slow process. I don't think that we're there yet. I think that now with the establishment of all the academies, you're finally starting to see the fruits of some of that labor. We're obviously behind other parts of the world. There's no question about that. I don't think anyone can argue that we're on par with the Spains and the Brazils and the Argentinas of the world in terms of youth development. But we're getting there slowly but surely. And I think that investing in the academies, investing in the youth, investing in better coaching at younger ages, I think these are all things that are going to be key to us producing some more world-class players. I mean, you look at a guy like Christian Pulisic, and you know, he was born and raised here in the U.S. in Pennsylvania, and he was developed you know, here in our system. You know, obviously going to Borussia Dortmund at a young age is clearly helping him, and clearly he has the talent and the capacity to play there. But the more players that we can produce like Christian, the better off we're going to be. So we're certainly not where we need to be, but I do see it in our team in Chicago. I saw it with the New York Red Bulls, the academy system that the Red Bulls have, FC Dallas. They produce some unbelievable talent as young players, and I think that's only going to get better and better as we get more experience and as these younger kids get better coaching.
Hey, and we can attest to that on this show. We've had Aaron Long from the Red Bulls on, product of the Academy, and Kellen Acosta, product of FC Dallas Academy. Two great players.
There you
great
go.
Great futures ahead of them. Look, just going back to you for a second. Prior to, you know, Bruce taking over the national team, did you honestly ever really think you'd have the pleasure of winning something like the Gold Cup? Like, what was that like for you personally, someone who's been sort of, not exiled, but, you know, on the fringes of the national team for so long?
Sure.
Was it like a moment of vindication for you? Like, yes, somebody believes in me enough to let me do this?
I guess you could say it like that. Yeah, I think it feels like a little bit of vindication, but it also just feels, it feels like hard work pays off. And I think that that's something that might be a little cliche, but at the end of the day, I think as an athlete, the only thing you can ask for is a chance. And if you get a chance, you're either going to take that chance or you're going to fail. And I think that for everyone that played on that Gold Cup team, it was a rough start to the tournament for us, if you guys can remember. You know, we didn't have a great game against Panama. We kind of were a little bit slow getting going through the group stage. I think, you know, we weren't super happy with the performances we were putting in, but we were getting good results. And so once we learned from a few mistakes that we were making early on in the Gold Cup, we only got better as a team, obviously bringing in some new players, some new talent, and some veteran guys really helped us, put us on a good path. But yeah, it certainly felt like vindication to be able to raise that trophy at the end of a long, hard month after not being with the national team for, you know, however many years. Being able to get a medal and being able to get a trophy in an important event and call yourself a champion with the national team, that's something that certainly I'll never forget for the rest of my life, and something that I can be very, very proud of. But not just myself, the entire group of guys that was there, the coaching staff, a lot of hard work goes into a month like that. And that certainly feels like just a reward for all the hard work we put in.
Dax, now that you've won something and you've got that sort of that added incentive, now you've touched silverware this year, does that make MLS Cup that much more of a reach, more of a goal?
Of course. Well, you know, I'm obviously in my career, I've made the playoffs almost every year of my career, and I've always wanted to be fighting for MLS Cup. Now, I haven't won it yet, which is obviously, a desire that burns deep inside me. I've been to MLS Cup once with FC Dallas. We lost in extra time on an own goal, which was heartbreaking. And then we've had a couple heartbreakers with the New York Red Bulls in terms of getting to the conference finals, getting close, but not getting not getting to the promised land. So certainly the fire... literally, no pun intended, burns deep inside of me to go win MLS Cup for this club. That's something that, unfortunately, unlike the rest of the world, you know, we determine a champion based off a playoff system. You know, with the Red Bulls, I was fortunate enough to win two supporter shields, which for me is a really important trophy. You know, it shows that it's the team that was the most consistent throughout the entire regular season. And those are trophies that I'm really proud of, but at the end of the day, you guys know as well as I do that the playoff system, that's the most important thing. And that's where the champion of MLS is determined. That's, you know, who is recognized. That's who gets a ring. So winning MLS Cup is certainly very high on the agenda. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, obviously our team is fighting for a playoff spot right now. We're in a good position, but we need to get back on a winning track. We need to win. You know, our focus is going to be winning the next game. And then once we get to be able to say we clinched a playoff spot, then we're going to focus on winning a trophy.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this because 41 points so far, 42 points was good enough for the playoffs last season. And obviously, every team wants to win MLS Cup, right? That's always the goal. But when you first got to Chicago and you had the conversations with guys like Veljko Paunovic and some of the players, what would have constituted a successful season for the Fire at the beginning of the season, and then also sort of contrasting that to now? Has the goal changed, or has it been the same the whole way through?
I think the goal has always been the same. The goal has always been to make the playoffs and give ourselves a chance to win silverware. It's simple enough, but when you're a team that's been last place in the entire MLS the past two seasons, it's a goal. You have to set realistic goals. And so we brought in some new players. We brought in more talent. But MLS is evolving. MLS is getting better and better every season. So just because you bring in new talent and good players doesn't mean you're going to automatically make the playoffs. Other teams are doing the exact same thing. So it's important for us to keep our feet on the ground and to realize that it's extremely important to make the playoffs and give yourself a chance to win silverware. So the U.S. Open Cup was a big priority for us, which unfortunately, you know, we didn't reach our goal of getting to the final of that. But at the end of the day, you can never really, you know, you can never really determine how penalty kicks are going to end up. So that was a heartbreaker to lose on penalties in that tournament. But I think our goals haven't changed, you know, just because we've had a good regular season up until this point. You know, we haven't clinched anything yet. We haven't accomplished anything yet as a group. All we've done is given ourselves a chance to make the playoffs. And that's still the goal. Once we get to the playoffs, anything can happen. And we're going to go for a trophy.
So, look, going back to when you were in New York, I remember, look, we talked a little bit before the show, you know, mutual friend of ours, Eric Krakauer, you talked to Big Soccer Head about this, how much you love New York, how much you had a connection with the fans there living in New York. Now, how have the fans taken to you in Chicago, and do you feel like they've embraced you already like the fans did in New York?
Well, you'd have to ask them. You know, it feels like they've embraced me. It feels like I've got a good connection with the fans in Chicago. But I think fans appreciate a winner, and I think fans appreciate guys that wear their hearts on their sleeves and guys that want to be good leaders and guys that win. So as long as I'm winning, you know, hopefully the fans are going to respect that and going to love that fact.
Dax, a guy that we spoke about a lot has been Nikolic. You know. Obviously, kind of surprised everyone really with his goal scoring ability and his nous in and around the box. How important is it for you guys as a team to have a striker like that on form in the playoffs? So you know, even in those scrappy games away from home when it's 0-0, you still have that fighting chance. You know, tuck a goal away against the run of play.
Yeah, I mean it's crucial to have a striker that's scoring goals for you. Not just in the playoffs, but in the regular season. I mean, I think Nico's been fantastic for us. He's obviously going through, you know, our losing spell has coincided with him not hitting the back of the net. So we need to figure out ways to be able to get him the ball in situations where he can score goals. So it's very important to have a hot striker going into the final stretch run of the season. That's a big priority for myself and for the rest of the guys on the team, is to try to get Nico going again, because when he's scoring goals, we're very hard to stop.
All right, Dax, look. You've been great to us with all the time that you've given us today. Thank you so much. Look, just one last thing. And I know that all the Chicagoans listening to me will not let me get away with not asking you this, all right? So what is the best pizza place you've been to in Chicago?
That's a tough one. You know what? The one that I've enjoyed the most so far is Lou Malnati's. Big fan of that place. And so that's going to get my vote, but I still need to try some more places.
I see. Is that a controversial opinion then? Is that, I don't know. Is that, yeah, I'm not well versed on Chicago pizza places, you see.
No, so. I'm not. That's definitely not a controversial one. I think a lot of people would agree with me on that. I think some people would probably be disappointed and say something like Pequod's or somewhere else. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that some people will be in agreement with me on that one.
All right, excellent. Dax, thank you so much for joining us today. That's all we've got time for today, guys. You can follow the show at Beyond the Pitch on Twitter. You can follow myself at Scott Nichols on Twitter. You can follow Dax McCarty at DaxMcCarty11. And you can follow Otis Earl at OJL3. Thanks for listening, guys. Goodbye.
Check us out online at beyondthepitch.net. Follow us on Twitter at Beyond the Pitch. Or find us on Facebook at Beyond the Pitch Show. Thank you.